Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Tom.
Oh, we're talking about a very classic book, Jane Eyre, that I read when I was younger. Probably read it when I was in my 20s. I wasn't in high school, I remember. Loved this book. I had read Wuthering Heights first by Emily Bronte, the sister of Charlotte Bronte, our author that we're talking about. And today is day 3 of our literature unit, so we're going to focus in on the themes and the motifs, some of the things that you want to pay attention to in the book. What was the author really trying to say with this story? You know, authors don't just write stories about characters. There's usually something they're trying to say in the book that you kind of have to look at more closely to see what some of those themes are. We're going to look at that today. But first, guys, as we always do, we're going to read through our lesson. Jane Eyre deals with several key issues relevant to the time in which it was written. During the Victorian era, Christianity was a central factor in European life, and Bronte did her best to examine the faith from different angles in the novel. The headmaster, Mr. Brocklehurst, symbolizes the hypocrisy of many religious leaders at the time. He takes advantage of the students by appropriating their money, while preaching that they should give away their money to eliminate the sin of greed. On the other hand, St. John's character represents the selfish motives of some clergymen. Although he's deeply involved in missionary work, he's doing it to satisfy his own needs for glory and self-importance. The concept of social class is another key theme in the novel. Many characters are unsure of how to treat Jane because her social status is unclear. Although she's as intelligent and well-mannered as Rochester, she doesn't have as much money as he does. As a result, Jane feels uneasy about marrying Rochester because she is considered to be from a lower class than he is. In the end, the marriage works out after she inherits a large sum of money and he loses some of his wealth, both of which equalize their social status. The book also delves into the unbalanced gender relationships of Bronte's times. Jane lives in a world dominated by men. She must constantly fight against male characters who try to keep her submissive. After several trials and tribulations, she establishes herself as a more independent individual who doesn't have to rely so much on other people for support. Furthermore, she becomes comfortable expressing her feelings and opinions on a number of topics. She proves that in a time when oppression of females was commonplace, women can still possess the eye of the tiger to courageously face all kinds of challenges.
Okay, everybody, today is the third day that we're talking about Jane Eyre. The first day, we summarized the novel for you. And in our last program, we talked about the author herself, Charlotte Bronte. And today, we're going to talk about some of the ideas in Jane Eyre and why we think you might enjoy reading it. So here it says, Jane Eyre deals with several key issues relevant to the time in which it was written. So it deals with these issues, it talks about them, it introduces them and tries to find some solutions to those problems. These are issues that were relevant to the time. Here, relevant means they had something to do with the time. They were connected to that time. They were important for that time. It was necessary to understand those issues if you wanted to survive in Victorian England.
That's right. So during the Victorian era, remember, there was a Queen Victoria. So this was the period of time she was alive, and she reigned for a long time. I think Tom talked about her period of being queen. I think Tom talked about the period of time she reigned as queen. She was alive for a long time. Well, it was during this era that Christianity was a central factor in European life. Christianity refers to the Christian religion, those people who believe in Jesus Christ as being the savior of the world. And Bronte did her best to examine the faith from different angles in the novel. So she has different characters, and through those characters and their actions, she kind of takes a look at Christianity and the flaws sometimes of this religion during the time that she lived. Because, you know, there were some people who said they were very religious, but they weren't really acting with a lot of Christian values of being kind and generous. For example, her headmaster, Mr. Brocklehurst, who actually sounds like a hot dog. Mr. Brocklehurst symbolizes, at least for Charlotte Bronte, he symbolizes the hypocrisy. Many religious leaders at the time, remember, we called him a hypocrite, someone who tells other people how to live but doesn't live that way himself. He was stealing the girls' money while he was headmaster. That's pretty awful.
So evidently there was a lot of corruption in the church back then. Mm-hmm. And I believe in England, the church and the government are not separated like they are in the States. It's supposed to be separated in the States, but in England, they're still pretty much together. So, yeah, you had to pretty much obey the rules of the church and things like that. Otherwise, you got in big trouble. So, yes, indeed, she tries to look at the religion from different angles. And he's a hypocrite. He takes advantage of the students by appropriating their money while preaching they should give away their money to eliminate the sin of greed. So again, we talked about him being a hypocrite. Mm. If you take advantage of someone, that means you use someone, especially if you have power over them.
Yeah.
And you're probably really not supposed to be doing that. But, you know, sometimes people take advantage of other people because the other people are weak and we're strong and we can do it. And we just do it anyway to take advantage of them, to use them. She, or he rather, appropriates their money. To appropriate just means to get it for yourself.
Yeah, to appropriate. So to take over somebody else's money. So he uses their money while preaching or telling them, this is what you should do, that they should give away their money to eliminate the sin of greed. To eliminate means to get rid of something entirely. You might have a bad smell of fish in your apartment after you have fish for dinner, and you might want to eliminate the smell by using some sort of spray that smells good. And the sin of greed. If you are talking about greed, you're talking about people who want so much more money than they have. They want more and more and more. And we call those people who have the sin of greed, greedy. All we do is add a Y to this word greed. Greed here is a noun. So, yeah, he's really a big hypocrite, you could say.
Indeed, greed, and get rid of that sin of greed. But on the other hand, St. John's character represents the selfish motives of some clergymen. So again, we've got St. John. He's a missionary, as we mentioned before. But he's not squeaky clean either.
No.
He's not totally moral either because he has some selfish motives. Selfish, of course, means you only think about yourself. Motive means it's something that causes you to act the way you do, especially if you're talking about, say, somebody who committed a crime. Well, what's the motive? Mm. Why did Mr. Black want to kill Mr. Green? What was the motive? Why would he do it? So in this case, they've got these selfish motives or reasons why they do the things they do. And these are clergymen, which of course are like priests or officials in the church. I assume they're talking about the C of E here, the Church of England. I think it existed during Victorian times, but I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah.
I'm not a religious scholar.
No, it did. Because
it did. Okay.
Remember Henry VIII, the bad, bad king that cut all his wife's heads off?
Uh-oh.
Remember him?
Yeah.
He was the one who started the church.
Okay, there you go.
So, yeah. So clergymen, as Tom said, are just officials in a church. Although he, and we're talking about St. John, he's deeply involved in missionary work, he's doing it to satisfy his own needs for glory and self-importance. You know, the truth is everybody wants to feel important in this world.
Mm.
And so you do different things to add to that feeling. So he serves other people and helps other people so that they turn around and say, oh, St. John is such a wonderful person. That's why he does it. So instead of actually just serving to help other people, he wants to feel really, really good about himself and feel self-important. Now, on to the next paragraph. The first sentence is, the concept of social class is another key theme in the novel. Now, unlike America, where we don't really have a class system, you could be born very poor. If you work hard, you can be in the upper class. In England, they really have a very strict social class, especially back then. A lot of people were born into royalty. Those were the only people who could own land and own homes. Everybody else had to rent land and rent homes from the rich people who were landowners. So we're talking about a class system that is unlike anything we experience here in Taiwan. So try to imagine people who were born poor remain poor their whole lives. It didn't matter if you got into Zhengda or Taida. It doesn't matter. You can work hard. You'll always be bottom of the rung. Low class. Yeah.
So again, she deals with the concept of social class in England. It's another theme in the novel. And many characters are unsure of how to treat Jane because her social status is unclear. Mm. Remember, she went to a boarding school and now she's going to this manor or something. So they're not really sure of her social status. Is she from a rich family? Is she a peasant from the North Country or something like that?
They want to label everybody.
Yeah, they want to basically label them, yet they don't really know what her status is, what her position is. It's kind of unclear.
Well, although she is as intelligent, smart, and well-mannered, she has very polite manners, as Rochester, she doesn't have as much money as he does. And money counts everywhere. It still does. If you're intelligent, of course, you're just quite bright, very smart. As a result, Jane feels uneasy. If you feel uneasy, guys, it just means you feel awkward, you feel uncomfortable. You don't really fit in. That's what uneasy means. About marrying Rochester, because she is considered to be from a lower class than he is. And back then, you needed to marry in the same class. Actually, even today, if you are dating someone from a really well-known family who's very wealthy and you're very poor, it's still a little bit of a problem, even in America. People, you know, they get very snobby about class. So in the end, the marriage works out. Because why? Remember, she inherits a large sum of money from her uncle, and that helps a little bit. If you inherit something, guys, it just means someone has passed away, unfortunately, and they have left what they have to you. Maybe it's furniture, maybe it's money, who knows what it is, maybe it's land. But she got a large sum. Sum here just means a large amount. Sum of money, and he loses some of his wealth in the fire.
Okay, so as a result, both of these things equalize their social status. His fortune is reduced and her fortune is increased, so that kind of equalizes their social status. To equalize here is a verb. It just means to make things equal, to make them the same in quantity, size, or degree, to equalize, etc. So
yeah.
Sometimes you hear this in sports, of course. If say, the Montreal Canadiens are ahead 2-0 and then the Toronto Maple Leafs score 2 goals, then they have equalized. They have tied the score.
Yeah. I can't remember the phrase, something's a great equalizer in life. I can't remember what it is.
Yeah, we should look that up maybe sometime, but yeah. We'll tell you when we find out. But in any case, right now, everybody, we're going to take a little bit of a break. Oh, I'm so exhausted. Let's take a break, and please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
大家好，欢迎收听 English Digest， 我是 Sunny。今天我们要阅读的是 Unit 14文学单元的第三天课程。在今天的课程中，我们会了解《简爱》这本小说的几个重要主题。首先，文章的第一段提到，在小说中，作者从不同的角度来解释宗教信仰，并揭露了宗教伪善的一面。我们看到第一段的第四句。He takes advantage of the students by appropriating their money. 他借着盗用学生的钱财来占他们便宜。名词 advantage 在这里的意思是好处、利益。片语 take advantage of somebody 或是 something 就可以指占某人的便宜或是利用某事物。例如 My mom took advantage of the typhoon day to clean the house thoroughly.我妈妈利用台风天 来彻底打扫房子。其他还有一些片语可以表示利用的意思，例如 make use of。 Paul made use of the summer vacation to travel around Europe。 保罗利用暑假去环游欧洲。还有 avail oneself of。 Avail A-V-A-I-L。 Lisa availed herself of the annual sale at a department store to purchase some cosmetics。 丽莎利用那间百货的周年庆来购买一些化妆品。另外还有 capitalize on。 Capitalize C-A-P-I-T-A-L-I-Z-E。 The country capitalizes on its natural beauty to attract tourists。 这个国家利用它的自然美景来吸引游客。文章的第二段提到社会阶级 Social status。 这也是小说所要探讨的另外一个主题。简奈虽然知书达理，但因为他来自下层社会，因此常常受到不公平的对待。我们看到第二段的第三句， Although she's as intelligent and well-mannered as Rochester, she doesn't have as much money as he does. 虽然他和罗彻斯特一样聪明且彬彬有礼，但他不像罗彻斯特一样富有。句型 as 点点点 as 点点点就是用来表示和什么一样怎么样。搭配 be 动词或是连缀动词的时候， as 和 as 的中间可以放形容词的原级。例如 Bonnie's smile is as warm as sunshine。 邦尼的微笑和阳光一样温暖。搭配一般动词的时候呢， as 和 us 的中间可以放副词的原级， many 或是 few 加上复数名词， much 或是 little 加上不可数名词。例如 My sister drank as much water as I did。 我妹妹和我喝一样多的水。另外如果我们说 as 点点点 as possible或是 as 点点点 as somebody can， 就是指尽可能怎么样。例如 Betty studied as hard as possible but she still failed the test。 贝蒂尽可能努力的读书，但她还是考不及格。我们接着看第二段的最后一句， In the end the marriage works out after she inherits a large sum of money and he loses some of his wealthBoth of which equalize their social status。 这个句子原本是由两个句子所组成。第一句是 In the end, the marriage 点点点一直到 his wealth。 那第二句呢是 Both of the things equalize their social status。 把这两句合并之后，用关系代名词 which 取代 the things。 因为 which 不但可以代替前面提到的两件事情，也可以当作连接词，用来连接两个句子。如果是代替前面所提到的人，那就要用 whom。 我们举一个例子， Mr. Wang has three daughters, one of whom lives in Japan。 王先生有三个女儿，其中一个住在日本。这个句子里的 whom 就是代替前面提到的 three daughters， 并且当作连接词来连接前一句。如果你要把 whom 改成 them 的话，那就要再加一个连接词 and， 变成 and one of them lives in Japan。 因为 them 是代名词，没有连接词的功用，所以不能用来连接两个句子。
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned, we'll be right back. Welcome back, guys. We're busy talking about the themes and motifs as well in the novel Jane Eyre, written by Charlotte Bronte. She was born way back in 1816. So this is a really kind of a fun novel for everyone, really, but especially for the girls out there who are looking for some romance. It was kind of suspenseful, too, because you don't really find out about Rochester's wife until you're really way into the book. book, you keep wondering, there's something going on that feels a little weird to Jane as she's in the house, and later on she discovers it's because there's a crazy woman in the attic. The attic is the top part of a house.
Yeah, what about that one, huh? Rochester was kind of playing around, you know, there with Jane, even though he's already married, but on the other hand, he's married to a wacko.
Yeah, but
maybe he was justified.
They couldn't get divorced. He felt it was his duty to take care of his crazy wife. She wasn't crazy when he married her. Something happened to her. Hmm. I think she lost a baby. I think one of her baby died and she went crazy.
Okay, and I think, is that the one where she sat in the room and the clock had stopped in the same time or something?
Yeah,
like that?
Yeah.
I remember that being in one of these older books.
Yeah.
But in any case here, as you said, this book delves into the unbalanced nature relationships of Bronte's time. So to delve into just means to explore this topic, talk about it a little bit. And Jane lives in a world dominated by men. Dominated by big, strong men. Yeah, don't try anything, girls. We'll put you in your place.
Whatever.
But in any case here, yes, we've got the word dominate. That means you basically control someone.
Yeah.
You are in charge, and there really isn't anything anybody else can do. I guess in the old days in the major leagues, the Yankees dominated because they basically had all the best players for
many years.
We had
the most money, and we're the best players.
Yep, so they dominated the leagues then. They basically controlled it. That's not really the case nowadays.
No.
The same could be said of the Montreal Canadiens and hockey, or Manchester United, or Barcelona in soccer. Mm. Those leagues are all pretty much dominated by the same team every year. And, okay, so, yes, she's living in a world dominated by men. The men are in charge. It's a man's world. And she must constantly fight against male characters who try to keep her submissive. Or we could say they try to keep her down. So she's constantly doing this. Mm. It's a constant fight. She cannot let down her guard. She has to fight day and night. She can never give up because these male characters are so dominant, they try to keep the women submissive. And if you're submissive, that means basically you are controlled by someone. You're kind of like a little bunny rabbit.
Yeah, yes, sir. What would you like, sir? Yeah, they have no free will of their own. They have to do exactly what they're told. Now, in the next sentence, it talks about after several trials and tribulations. This phrase, and we keep these two words together, trials and tribulations, to talk about the difficulties that everyone must experience in life. You know, life isn't always easy. It's tough sometimes. So trials and tribulations can be family problems. It can be romantic problems. It could be difficulties with your work, all of these things. So after some difficulties that she has, establishes herself as a more independent individual who doesn't have to rely so much on other people for support. If you're independent, you kind of take care of yourself. You don't need a lot of people helping you all the time. I'm pretty independent. I always have been since I was a little girl. I do my own thing. Yeah, but a lot of people, they're afraid to go out on their own. They don't go and do anything unless they have somebody else there with them. They're not independent.
Right, independent, and of course that's an adjective here. The noun form is independence, so I could ask the question, do you support independence for Puerto Rico? Okay, should it be an independent country, or should it still be part of the United States? So, yes, independent and independence, those are two different words. But she's a very independent person, she's very outspoken, she has her own opinions, and she doesn't want to rely on other people for support. She wants to be her own person.
Yeah.
And furthermore, she becomes comfortable expressing her feelings and opinions on a number of topics, which, as you can guess, at the time was not really looked highly on for women to express their opinions.
Yeah, they were supposed to be quiet.
Quiet? Yeah. Yeah, go in the living room and sweep the carpet or something like that.
Oh, boy.
So she was, if they swept the carpet back then, maybe they didn't have vacuum cleaners. I guess not, but in any vacuum cleaners would make the job much more easy. That's why guys
yeah,
do
no
it,
kidding.
Too. But in any case, let's get back to the topic here. She could express her feelings and opinions. And to be fair, I suppose there were men at the time who thought, yeah, we're supposed to be dominant, but she's got some interesting opinions
here.
She's
pretty smart.
Let her talk.
Yeah.
So, yeah, she could actually be quite a good conversationalist.
That's right. I'm sure she was. I'm sure all those sisters were pretty interesting. If you can write, you usually have a lot of creative ideas inside. So she was very independent. She was comfortable expressing her feelings and opinions. Yeah, back then, guys, they would have these social gatherings. They'd eat together, and then the men would go into the den and smoke and talk about politics, and the women would stay together and knit or do crochet or something.
Yeah, it's not fair. I think crochet and knitting is pretty cool, actually.
Oh, whatever.
Instead of smoking those cigars, you could get mouth cancer from that. But in any case here, she proves in a time when oppression of females was commonplace.
Yeah.
Commonplace just means common. It was all over the place. And it still is very commonplace in the world in different countries. You could even argue it's probably common in some parts of the United States and
no,
Europe.
In the Middle East.
Especially the Middle East. Yeah.
I wouldn't say in the United States anymore.
Not so. Well, you're a woman. I guess you would probably know that.
No, we would know, wouldn't we?
No,
definitely still in the Middle East, yeah.
Middle East, yeah. Watch out for that. But in any case, yes, it was commonplace. And women can still possess the eye of the tiger to courageously face all kinds of challenges. The eye of the tiger, of course, reminds me of, what was it, the third Rocky movie, that one song, Eye of the Tiger. I wish I could sing that more, but basically that refers to basically a strong willingness to fight and be independent. Like a tiger, the eye of the tiger.
Yeah, and it says here that even in those times, the women can still possess the eye of the tiger, that to courageously face all kinds of challenges. If you're courageous, it means you're brave. You're not going to back down when things get scary or tough. You just keep going. You're determined. So here it's the adverb form of the word courageous. The noun is courage, to have courage. And hopefully all of us have courage when things get tough.
Hopefully we do, and if we've inspired you to read this book, hey, don't worry, because it's probably available for free download from the internet. Maybe you could check out Project Gutenberg.
Uh-huh.
They have all sorts of free electronic books that you can download and read on your device or on the device of your choice. Okay, so that brings us to the end of our explanation. Here comes our Chinese teacher.
文章的最后一段提到简爱在小说中展现了女性的勇气和毅力，证明了即使在男性支配的时代，女性也能勇敢地面对任何挑战。我们看到最后一段的倒数第二句 Furthermore, she becomes comfortable expressing her feelings and opinions on a number of topics. 此外，她变得能自在地对一些议题表达她的感触和意见。A number of 意思是一些，后面接复数名词，并且搭配的是复数动词。例如 ，A number of students are studying in the library。一些学生在图书馆里面读书。如果是 the number of 的话，就变成是什么东西的数目，后面接的是复数名词，但是因为主词其实是 number， 而不是后面的复数名词。所以注意哦，这边的动词要搭配的是单数动词。例如 ,The number of students in this school is decreasing. 这所学校的学生数目正在减少中。以上就是今天的课程，谢谢大家收听。
That is it for today. Thank you so much for joining us, and please join us again next time for another wonderful edition of our award-winning program. From all of us here at English Digest, I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Goodbye.
Bye.